want to talk to us this evening about a topic that's not really always an easy topic to talk about, and really a sermon that's much different perhaps in nature than the types of sermons that I usually preach, but it's certainly a serious concern. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 27, the Apostle Paul said, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Now Paul is in the middle here of discussing a problem that the Corinthian church had with observing the Lord's Supper. They had distorted it way beyond its purpose and its design. But he makes a curious statement here in verse 30, and it's a statement, one of those statements that is debated among the so-called scholars and commentaries and so forth. When Paul said, "For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." And the debate is this. Some say, well, that's talking about some sort of physical ailment or sickness that God is punishing the Corinthians with for distorting the Lord's Supper, much like he struck Ananias and Sapphira dead for lying to the Holy Spirit and trying to deceive the brethren. That's one side of the argument. Others argue, no, Paul is not speaking physically here, but he's speaking spiritually. And he's saying that many of these people are now spiritually sick, and some of them have even died spiritually. It's not really easy to determine which side of the debate is the correct one. But there's one thing that I'm certain of, having been a Christian for many years and been around Christians for many, many years, is that we could safely say there is such thing as spiritual sickness. I believe that. I believe that people can become spiritually ill. I think Satan is out there every day trying to inject us with some sort of spiritual virus that would cause us to become very sick and very weak and to eventually die spiritually. And so it's really a great danger. And it's something that we need to think about all the time. The Hebrew writer said over in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, "Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away." And so we're talking here tonight not about those who have already spiritually died and just completely left the Lord. We're talking about those who may have begun to drift. And they're starting to drift away from the Lord, and they may not see it, but some of us might. Some of their brethren may see that. And should they do something? I think absolutely something should be done out of love and concern for their soul. You know, the image that you get from reading Hebrews 2:1 is that of a ship at bay. And then someone may be out, perhaps not in a ship, but in a small boat, and they're fishing. And they don't realize it, but the current has begun to take them out. And before they know it, they're all the way on the edge and then over the edge, and they're in serious danger without even realizing that they were drifting that way all the while. And so this is a very serious matter. And we've all known such cases down through the years, as we sometimes have very sadly seen those who were once very strong, energetic Christians kind of become weaker and weaker in the faith. And often they've fallen completely away from the Lord. We take physical sickness very seriously. And we do things that are necessary to remedy those physical illnesses, whatever is available to us. Oh, how much more we ought to take spiritual sickness seriously. This evening I want us to think for a few minutes about spiritual sickness. I want us to notice three things about it. In the first place, I want us to notice that spiritual sickness is symptomatic. Now, physical sicknesses are often symptomatic. If you get a cold, you're likely to have a runny nose and watery eyes. And then there are other more severe sicknesses and diseases that display themselves in symptoms, and we pay attention to those symptoms. Well, just like physical illness, spiritual illness can be symptomatic as well. Those who are spiritually sick begin to show symptoms. And I think probably one of the first and most obvious symptoms of someone who is becoming spiritually ill is their assembling. They're assembling with the saints. Now the Lord commands us in Hebrews 10:25 not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some. And they become spiritually sick. They've been very faithful in attending the services for many, many years. And then all of a sudden they begin to miss some. And then they begin to miss more. And then their attendance is very sporadic. And then you just don't know if they're going to be there or not. Well, we ought to sit back and think, you know, something might be wrong here. Maybe somebody stops preparing for the Bible classes like they once did. Maybe a Bible class teacher notices that they no longer participate in the Bible classes like they once did. Maybe they don't even attend the Bible classes anymore. I knew several years ago of a lady I noticed. She just simply stopped coming to the Bible classes altogether, and I went and had a talk with her about that. She had some concerns, and we discussed that and worked that out, and she began to come to the Bible classes again. So that may be a symptom that something is wrong, and we need to take note. Maybe their speech is different. Maybe they begin to say things that are uncharacteristic of them or of any child of God. Their talk seems to be looser than it once was. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul said, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds." Maybe you've noticed in talking to them that they're not just blaspheming or using filthy language, but they're starting to tell questionable jokes. They're starting to make off-color comments that are totally uncharacteristic of them. They've never done that before. Something must be up here. Wonder what's going on. That could be an indicator that someone's becoming spiritually sick. Or you begin to hear them getting excited and talking about a movie that's out that you know no Christian has no business going to see. And you know this person, they would have never gone to see that movie in the past. What's up? Or maybe the time that they spend with the brethren in general diminishes. I don't know why I have that up there again. Well, Hebrews 10:24 is what I meant. Consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. The Bible goes on and on to talk about one another and how we ought to love one another. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 10, the Apostle John writes there and says, "He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him." Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 11, when the Apostle Paul is talking about withdrawing from that brother who is in sin, and he says there in verse 11, "Now I've written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person." This indicates that eating and that keeping company with existed beforehand. Many people have said church discipline, when it is carried out, often is ineffective because when you practice it, you're not really taking anything away from the sinner because they never had that closeness anyway. They weren't really part of the family. They'd show up once, twice, three times a week, and that's the only time you ever saw them, and they just skip out on any other opportunities to spend time with their brethren. Just don't bother going. Too many other things going on. But then there are some who do bother, and there are some who love it and go all the time, and then all of a sudden they don't anymore. Might be some kind of indicator that something is wrong. Attitude doesn't seem to be as cheerful as it once was. You know, cheerfulness and joy is one of the hallmarks of being a child of God. In Philippians 4, verse 4, Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." And all of a sudden, this person who seemed to serve the Lord with such joy for so many years now seems gloomy very often. Their attitude has changed. They begin to complain more and more about things when at one time they didn't do that. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 10:10, to let us not complain. These and other things could be symptoms that someone may have gotten spiritually sick. But I want to give a warning about symptoms. I think often they will make themselves evident. But we need to be careful not to overread symptoms. There could be legitimate reasons for some of these things. We shouldn't start just looking for symptoms all the time in our brethren. Now we're just a bunch of fault finders. Now we're just trying to assume evil about people. We need to be careful about that. Don't read into things that may not be there. Don't evil surmise. We need to be careful about that. I think some of these symptoms are real, and I think the real true symptoms will manifest themselves properly, and we won't miss it. But we need to be very careful in doing this. We need to do it. We need to be loving and concerned about our brethren, that we don't want them to ultimately fall away from the Lord and lose their soul. I love the imagery, the analogy Paul draws. It's not the only place he does it, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he draws an analogy between the church of the Lord and the human body. And you think about how the human body loves and cherishes the members. My feet got to hurting real bad a few weeks ago, and I developed one of those things you get on the bottom when you can't even step on it. It's like stepping on a nail. And so I began to soak that foot every night, and I began to get my pet egg out and rub that thing every night. And eventually it got better, and it didn't hurt as bad. But the hands showed that love and that nourishment and affection for that foot. Well, that's what we do in the body of Christ, right? We nourish one another. If we see that there's some sort of problem, there's some sort of indicator, there's some sort of symptom that something might be wrong, we try to come to the rescue and do what we can to exhort and to encourage and build up. In verse 26, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. But don't be so caught up in looking for symptoms in others that you fail to examine yourself often." Paul says, examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and in verse 5. You know, physically speaking, we watch out for symptoms in those that we love. If you have a little baby at home like I do, you're constantly watching out for symptoms. You take the temperature often. You watch out for a cough or a sniffle. You're always feeling the head. You're concerned about the health and the well-being of that child. That's the way we ought to be with one another as Christians. Concerned if symptoms begin to arise. And so with spiritual sickness is symptomatic. Number two, not only is spiritual sickness symptomatic, but spiritual sickness is serious. It's serious. When someone gets physically ill, there is a potential for that illness to be very serious. Not always, but there is the potential. When one begins drifting away from the Lord's people and away from the Lord, the ultimate result is a fall and a loss of soul. Falling away from the Lord is spiritually fatal. Again, that's why the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1 that we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Look at what James said over in James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. We often appeal to this passage to teach another very important lesson, but there's something that's taught here as well that we don't often point out. James says, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death." See that? So when the sinner turns his back from the Lord, his soul dies. That is spiritual death. And it's serious. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, "If anyone take heed, if anyone thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall." In Galatians 5, verse 4, the Apostle Paul spoke of those who had fallen from grace. And then he turns around in chapter 6 and verse 1 and says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one." You see, such a one needs to be restored. He's fallen from grace. He's fell. He has spiritually died. Remember Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8, who along with the other Samaritans believed and was baptized and followed along with Philip, and then the apostles came down from Jerusalem and they laid hands upon them, and as a result, these new Christians received gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that, he wanted to be able to do that. And he offered them money to be able to do that. And it was a great sin. Matter of fact, in verse 23, Peter said to him, "For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." And back in verse 20, when Peter had first made the offer to buy that gift, Peter said to him, "Your money perish." Highlight that word perish. And then he said, "With you." Now highlight you. He was going to perish. your money perish with you. So spiritual sickness is very serious. And it needs to be treated very seriously. And as with physical sickness, if you ignore the symptoms, you're liable to die. And spiritual death is the worst of all. And so when we think about spiritual sickness, we see that it is symptomatic. We need to be impressed with the fact that it is serious, but we also need to understand that it is surmountable. There are some physical illnesses, unfortunately, so far are unsurmountable, or seem to be. The cure has yet to be found. And that's a tragic thing, but oh so tragic when it's in the spiritual realm. And when someone becomes spiritually sick, that can be overcome, but there's some steps that need to be taken. Whether someone is just beginning to weaken spiritually, or if they have fallen completely away from the Lord even, in either case, it's not hopeless. It is surmountable. Remember, James said, restore whoever restores him. They can be restored. Paul said, you who are spiritual, to go talk to such a one, why? If it were impossible to bring them back. It is surmountable. You know, we're often praying for wisdom. I sometimes say it in my prayers. I hear others say the same thing in different words. But often we pray for the wisdom to know what to say or to do to help someone come back to the Lord. Or, Lord, give me the wisdom to know what to say and what to do to strengthen someone who is drifting from the Lord. Now, there are some things that we should not do. Very often, these are the very things that we do. One of those things is to just begin gossiping about them. Remember Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, when one member suffers, the other members suffer with him. But it seems to me that when one member begins to suffer, or begins to show some signs and symptoms of spiritual weakness, the other members seem to rejoice in that. And they can't wait to go to another member or third party and then start to talk about that. Sometimes, almost with a joyful look on their face. That's a perverse man. The Proverbs writer said in Proverbs 16:28, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Over in the book of Romans chapter 1, when Paul depicts that society that had become so disgustingly sinful that God had just turned his back on them, just gave them up to their sinful lifestyle. And in verse 29 and 30, we have parts of this long list of sins that they were guilty of that caused God to do this. And it says, beginning verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. You're thinking, oh, I'm glad I'm not that. But then it says, right there in the midst of all those horrible things, they are whisperers, backbiters. And then right after that, haters of God. You see the kind of company whisperers and backbiters keep? When a brother or sister in Christ begins to show symptoms of spiritual sickness, we don't need to be thinking about whispering and backbiting. We need to be thinking about, what can I do to help that person to get strong again and to serve the Lord faithfully? That's what I would want them to do for me if I were to become spiritually sick. Now, there are some things that they can and must do on their own to recover, but these things and others we can encourage them to do and remind them of. Galatians chapter 6, again in verses 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul in verse 1 talks about, if anyone is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Then coupled right along with that is this thought in verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so these people, if they become spiritually sick, they have a great burden upon them. They are fighting a warfare and they're losing the battle. They're beginning to lose. They're falling behind. I need to step in there and take their hand and strengthen them and fight right along beside them. instead of adding to the fire and adding to their weakness by going out and gossiping and slandering them. I can encourage them to pray more, and I can even pray with them. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul says, pray without ceasing. And certainly we can and should, as I said, pray for them and pray with them. In the book of James, chapter 5 and verse 16, James says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I can encourage them to read the Bible more. I can even offer my time to come over and visit with them. Let's start reading the Bible together every week. It'd help you too, help both of you. That may be just something you can do to help somebody. Now, the Bible teaches us in Romans 10, 17 that faith comes by hearing. Yes, that initial faith, that initial belief comes by hearing. But a point we often miss is faith keeps on coming by hearing. A friend of mine just a few weeks ago came to me, and he's a very strong Christian, and I admire him very much. And he told me, he said, a few years back I asked a certain preacher, he said, I just felt like I was weak in the faith, I was weakening. And I asked this preacher, he said, just what can I do just to increase my faith? And that preacher told me, he said, just read your Bible. Just start reading your Bible every day more. It's that simple. He said, you know, I started doing that and I started growing. I remember several years ago, a deacon in the church that I knew told me at the beginning of one year, he said, you know, Michael, I have to be honest, I've never just sat down and read the Bible from beginning to end all the way through. He said, I'm going to do that this year. And I'm going to tell you something. In that year, I can't remember ever seeing somebody grow so much in a year's time. And he was always calling me, what do you think about this passage in Genesis or that passage in Exodus? Sometimes I had to get up my commentary. But boy, he was just growing and asking questions. He grew by leaps and bounds in that single year because he said, I'm going to commit myself just to read through the Bible this year. Encourage people to read the Bible and you can overcome this spiritual sickness. You know, the Bible talks about this, I believe, this very subject. Over in the book of Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, when the Hebrew writer says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That's what we're talking about, somebody who's begun the process of departing from the living God. What's the remedy? How can you surmount it? Well, he says in the next verse, verse 13, but exhort one another daily. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, it never hurts to just take a little card, a little piece of paper, and write 10 or 11 words on it. I'm thinking about you today. I appreciate you and I love you. Stay strong. Stick that in the mail and send it to somebody. It don't even have to be somebody that you suspect is beginning to show symptoms of spiritual illness. Just do it. Do it all the time. Get your directory out and say, I'm going to start beginning a directory and I'm going to send something like that to every member here over the next few months. That'd be a good practice, wouldn't it? And then it would also give ideas to them. It would help strengthen and encourage them. And then they think, well, that's a good, I'm going to start sending notes and trying to. And then you've got everybody just really exhorting one another. Sometimes a phone call is in order. Call them up. Let them know you missed them the other night at services. Doesn't have to be harsh. Doesn't have to be rebuked. Just a gentle, sometimes maybe even a kindly, firm exhortation to help your brother along the way. And be patient with them. Be patient with them. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, the Bible says, love bears all things. Help them to get over this illness. Help them to get over this sickness. Ephesians chapter 4, and verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul writes concerning patience. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another, bearing with one another in love. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 13, a sister passage or a sister epistle to the book of Ephesians, Paul says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Spiritual sickness is a deadly thing, and it happens so often. Good, strong Christians, somehow, somewhere, Satan was able to make a chink in their armor and weasel his way in and begin to slowly from the inside out bring them down. And all too often other Christians just sit back and watch that happen and never step in to do a thing to stop it. Let's not be like that. If we see other Christians who we think may be struggling, they're doing some things that they don't normally do, things that are not really good spiritually, things perhaps that are even sinful. Let's step in. Let's do what we can to encourage them and to help them along the way. Listen, we're all in the same battle. We're all fighting the same enemy, and that enemy has never given up, and he never will. So let's fight together, hand in hand, to defeat the devil. Spiritual sickness is symptomatic. Let's not be blind to the symptoms. Spiritual sickness is serious, but spiritual sickness is surmountable. Let's pray.